to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 28. 1 Samuel 28. I have really been encouraged in my own life by going through 1 Samuel. It has given me some of the right things to say in counseling other people and in personal settings and situations that I've been in by what I've learned about the life of David. And so we're going to look this morning in chapter 28. We're going to deal with the first two verses. And it's really kind of a choppy chapter. We have here this little insight about what Achish's plans are for David. Then the attention shifts to Saul and his fear of fighting the Philistines. And then it goes back to David. And so this morning, I want to deal with verses 1 and 2 and talk about the dangers of deception. The dangers of deception. We'll come back tonight if you're able. We'll look at verses 3 down through verse 6, and we'll talk about when God does not speak. This morning, I want to focus on the dangers of deception. So let's read these two verses, and we'll say a few things about them, and I'll go eat lunch. That's pretty much the grand scheme of things. It may take a little longer than the way I said it, but that's the direction we're headed. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine own head forever. I originally titled this message, The Liar's Lot. In other words, if you tell lies, you're going to end up getting what happens to a liar. But there's really more here than just some basic lies. David is actually living a life of deception. He's appearing to be something that he's not. And he's living this lie and perpetuating this lie, and it comes to a head here in these first two verses, and David does not deal with the lie and the dishonesty and the deception in his own life. So in order to understand what's happened here in verses 1 and 2, I think it would be good for us to back up and look just a little bit at chapter 27. I know I've already preached a message from it. I'm not going to preach another message. But what we need to establish in our first thought here is a dishonest living. A dishonest living. Have you ever heard someone make this statement? I just want to make an honest living. Making an honest living. You might have even said that before. I've said that a few times. I'm just looking to make an honest living. However, David, during this time, did not make an honest living. Let's notice, first of all, the length of David's dishonesty. Look with me at verse 7 of chapter 27. It says, And the time of David's, and the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 14 months. So David has been living this life of dishonesty, this dishonest living, for a total of 16 months. Now, I want to give you a word of caution here. David lived a lie for 16 months and God let him do it. How many times has someone lied to you and you thought, well, I wonder if they're even saved? Huh? Have you ever seen someone maybe spend a couple of days of their life in sin? Well, I wonder if they're really genuinely saved. Have you ever noticed someone who maybe got in a bind and was in trouble and lived out of the will of God for a month? Can I tell you something? David, a man that the Bible refers to as a man after God's own heart, lived a lie and a dishonest living for 16 months before God corrected him. So don't be so fast to judge somebody that you think's living a dishonest life or making a dishonest living. This went on for 16 months. Now, I said don't judge people too quickly, but don't take this as a license for you to do something wrong for 16 months. That's the flip side of the coin. Well, God will let David for 16 months, and he was a really good Christian. I can probably get away with it for 3.5 years. That's not what the text is teaching. It's a warning to you not to be quick to judge others. That doesn't mean you may not need to address the situation. The Bible gives the church the authority to address those who are living in rebellion towards God, and that authority only extends to those in the church. So Lee Creek has the ability to address someone that's living a dishonest life. And you say, where's that at in the Bible? It's Matthew 18, and it's 1 Corinthians 5. You can find some other verses supporting those two central points. But be cautious judging the salvation of someone else based upon their life they're living. Now, let's look at verse 9 and see David's loot. David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel and returned and came to Achish. Now, the people that David is fighting and killing them are the enemies of Israel. It's the people that God had told Israel to run out of the promised land. It's the Amalekites and the Geshurites and the Gezerites. All of these nations are inhabiting the land that God gave Israel, and Israel is supposed to run them out. So what David is doing is he's going out and fighting Israel's enemies. But he's living in the land of the Philistines, in Ziklag, a city that belongs to them. And he's living under the protection of Achish, the king. And so he goes out and kills these towns. He goes out and takes all the stuff out of the town. This is how David's making his living, off the loot that he's taken out of these towns. He utterly destroys them, but notice what he does with what he takes. He goes back before Achish and goes, look what I got. Here, Achish, since you've gave me Ziklag, I'm going to give you all these camels. I'm going to give you all these donkeys. I'm going to give you some of this apparel. So what David is doing is paying rent to Achish. Not because Achish said, I want rent, but David is making a dishonest living, and he's using it to keep up his dishonest lifestyle. Notice verse 10, David's lie. Verse 10 of chapter 27 says, and Achish said, whether have you made a road today? That means where did you invade today? Where did you go? See, David's been bringing Achish's share of the livestock and the wealth and the loot. And so when he shows up, Achish says, where'd you go at today? Where did you make an inroad today? Notice that David, what David says in verse 10 is different than what David actually did in verse 8. In verse 10, David said, against the south of Judah, and against the south of Jerimelites, and against the south of the Kenites. These are the enemies of the Philistines. You see this as a dishonest living? David is fighting the Lord's battles. The Lord had appointed Israel to fight and run out these people. As a matter of fact, if you remember back in our study of 1 Samuel, God told Saul through the prophet Samuel to kill the Amalekites and utterly destroy them, every man, woman, and child, leave no one left. And what did Saul do? He kept Agag. He kept some of the best of the livestock to sacrifice. And you remember that famous line of Samuel's? It is better to obey than to sacrifice. So Saul didn't do what he was supposed to do, and God took the kingdom away, gave it to David. Now David is going out and doing what God has instructed them to do, but he's coming back and telling Achish that he's fighting Achish's enemies. He's saying, I fought in Judah. Judah is David's own tribe. He's telling Achish that he's going back and fighting his own family tribe, his own family tree. He's telling Achish that he's fighting the other enemies of the Philistines. This is simply a lie. Look at verse 12. And Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people, Israel, utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever. So we see the length of David's time there in the Philistines, David's loot, David's lie. You know what we can conclude by verse 12? David's a liar. David is a liar. He's living a dishonest life. David's a fake. His income is dishonest. His intentions are dishonest. And David is living this lie to the point that the king of Gath, the Philistine, believes David. So David has put on such a fake show that even the people who are closest to him believe he's really doing something else. Do you know what that makes you? A liar. Now people get mad when you call them a liar, don't they? Even if they're lying, even if you know they're lying. I mean, I've seen people caught in a lie and the guy would say, I don't think you're telling me the truth. And the guy take his hat off and throw it on the ground and get up in his face and go, are you calling me a liar? I'm like, dude, you are. You are a liar. Can we all agree before we get into the two verses in front of us that it's clear to say David's a liar? He's living a lie. He's doing one thing and saying another. He's saying this stuff came from here when he really got it from there. He's putting on a show for Achish, and Achish is starting to believe it, and now Achish has confidence in him. Why? Because David is making a dishonest living. Now let's look at verse 1. The dilemma of loyalty. You see, when you make a dishonest living, you can't live like that forever. It will eventually catch you. I had a friend growing up and his family made I don't know how much money. It was extravagant lifestyle they lived. I mean, I don't mean they had a little bit of money. I mean, they were filthy, stinking rich. And I thought, what does this guy do for a living? Well, without hinting at who he might be or where he got his money from, basically, he robbed the government. He made a bunch of money. He never paid taxes. And when the government came after him, he took all of his money and moved to another country. That country being the United States. He lived here owing another country all this tax money that he did not pay. And he lived it up. And you know what happened? It caught up with him. They found him. They came after him. You know what else? Once you start living that way, you can't go back. He ended up owing our government a bunch of tax money. And it all caught up with him. And so it is with David. For 16 months, he had a dishonest living, and now he's in a dilemma of loyalty. Who's he going to serve? Look with me at verse 1 again. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. Friends, let's talk first of all of why the Philistines are going out to battle with Israel. Well, the greatest warrior that Israel had is David. And David's working for the Philistines, they think. The greatest spiritual leader that Israel has ever had is Samuel, and he died just previous to this engagement. So the two great spiritual leaders and the two great fighting leaders of Israel are out of the picture, so that puts Israel in a weakened state and vulnerable to attack. Anytime the spiritual leaders are taken out of the picture, it always puts the sheep vulnerable to attack. Look at Christ on the night that he was captured. Peter was awful brave before Christ was captured, was he not? He drew a sword and took on the priest army. He cut a man's ear off trying to cut his head off. Christ picked up the man's ear, put it back on, and told Peter to put his sword away. That same Peter, who was willing to take on a company of soldiers, denied that he even knew Jesus Christ 3 times before the first crow of the rooster in the morning. Why? Because Jesus had been captured. With Saul gone and David gone, with Samuel gone and David gone, the Philistines look at Israel and say, now is the time to attack. And so they've decided to attack. And Achish has a secret weapon. A weapon that all of the Philistines have been afraid of. You know what that weapon is? David. You say, is David really that powerful of a weapon? Yes, it was David who was but a boy, a shepherd boy, a small boy, who approached the greatest victor that the Philistines had ever had, the greatest champion soldier they had ever had, a giant in excess of 9 feet tall. David approached him with not so much his sword or shield, but merely with a slingshot, and dropped him with one shot. That was David as a boy. Then David became the general for Saul and began to fight in battle. And David, the Bible says, was victorious in his battles. The Philistines feared David. And Achish says, David's now on my side. Look at what it says. The middle part of verse 28. And Achish said unto David, know thou assuredly. You know what that means? It's a fact. You're going. I'm not asking if you want to. I'm telling you, you're going to fight with us. Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go with me to battle, thou and thy men. Achish does not give David the option. He says, you're going to fight. He doesn't say, would you be willing to go fight? You know why Achish doesn't ask him? Because David's been telling Achish that he already has. David's been saying, I attacked Judah. So Achish says, hey, have I got a deal for you? I also want to attack Judah. I know how victorious you are. I know what a military genius you are. I know how brave you and your men are. So just go ahead and mark out your calendars. Tell your wives you'll be gone. You're traveling to combat with me, and we're going to fight Israel. Here's the dilemma of loyalty, is it not? Who will David fight for? Will he change his mind and fight for Israel, or will he continue living a lie and fight for Achish? Will he be willing to kill his own, or will he be willing to risk his life, his own neck, to get away from Achish? Because you know what's going to happen if David tells Achish, I'm not going to fight Israel. He has 600 men and an entire country. He's surrounded by five kingdoms, the five lords of the Philistines. David just thought he was outnumbered when Saul brought 3,000 men. David knows full well if he tells Achish no, Achish may well kill him, at the very least, kick him out of the country where he has to go back and live among Saul. And David's not going to risk his life and the life of his men and his family and his wives' lives because they're all living in Ziklag. What will David do? To whom will David remain loyal? That's the question that has to be asked. Well, do you realize when you live a dishonest life, when you're doing one thing and saying another, there's going to come a time when you're going to have to classify and declare whose side you're really on? There are people that go through their lives lying and lying and lying and lying, but you cannot live that way forever. Let's think about this for a moment. Achish told David that you are going to fight. You, the Bible says, thou and thy men. David now has the task of going back to Ziklag and getting his 600 soldiers together and saying, boys, arm up. We're going to fight against Israel. How many of these 600 men would blindly follow David, even if it meant fighting against their own families? David now has the task of convincing these 600 men, we have to go and do this. These 600 men are about at their wits' end, and you can find that in the coming chapters. They almost stoned David two chapters. They've about had it with David's shenanigans. He's in a dilemma of loyalty. Who will he serve? That brings us to our third thought. You look at the first part of verse 2. I want you to notice that the deception lingers. The deception lingers. Have you ever noticed that once you tell a lie, you have to tell two or three more to keep covering it up? You ever noticed that? You ever noticed that people that are prone to lie a lot never just tell you one lie and go, oh, you know what? I've been thinking about this. I lied to you. No, when you question them, they just throw another lie right up on top and another lie right up on top, and they will continue lying. Why? Because once you make your living or you live your life by deception, you will have to continue in that same deception in order to keep living. And look at the first part of verse 2. David gives no indication that he's anything other than fully surrendered to Achish. And David said to Achish, surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. Think about this for a moment. David says to Achish, you know what I'm capable of in battle. You know how many men my men can kill. You know if we're even outnumbered 2 or 3 to 1, we still win. You know that no one's as brave as my men are. You know that no one is as fearless as I am. David, in the face of a dilemma as to whether he will kill Israel or flee for his life from Achish or even fight against the Philistines, in this dilemma, David does nothing but brag on his wartime abilities. Seems to me that David has no intention of coming clean about what he's doing. Now you say, well, maybe he is fully surrendered to Achish. My friend, if he was, why didn't he really go attack Judah? If he was, why didn't he really go attack the Kenites? If he was, why didn't he risk his life to fight the Philistines' enemies instead of risking his life to fight Israel's enemies? David is not committed to Achish, but David continues to lie that he is. Deception lingers, it never goes away, and it's dangerous. The reason that David says this is because he's been lying to Achish. David has never, not one time, fought against the armies of Israel. But wait. Did you notice how David worded that there in verse 2? He didn't say, you know what I can do against Israel. He said, you know what I can do, period. David did not say who he had been fighting. So what was he doing? He was continuing to go off the people he'd been lying about fighting. So technically, David here in verse 2 wasn't saying, I will go and destroy Israel. He was just saying to Achish, you know how many camels and donkeys and coats and sheep and cattle I've brought back. Can I tell you something? Deception is the same as lying. If you take a half-truth and promote it, you might as well go ahead and make up some outrageous story and tell it. I had a friend who was a compulsive liar growing up. I felt sorry for him. He didn't have many friends because he lied all the time. But you know, once we became friends, his lies became so outrageous they were funny. You ever known a guy like that? This guy was, he'd just tell you one lie after another, after another, after another. And we were talking about fishing, me and another guy, and this fellow was there. And he said, I went fishing last week. And I said, where at? He said, the Greenwood City Lake. It's where Greenwood gets their water from. And I said, really? I said, did you catch anything? He goes, yeah, I caught 2 sharks. And I'm like, sharks? Really? What kind? Hammerheads. I was like, well, this gets better. Hammerhead sharks out of the Greenwood City Lake. Hey, I'm not lying. I'm telling you a guy that was telling a lie, okay? This really happened. So I said, what did you catch those hammerhead sharks on? He said, lick 'em smacks. You know, the cereal with the frog on the front? He said, you get that lick 'em smacks in the water and make a dough ball out of it, and hammerhead sharks love it. Now, there's been times that people have lied to me, and it made me mad. But when Cliff lied, it didn't make me mad. It made me laugh. And Cliff was really thinking we were believing this. I would rather someone just flat out tell me they caught hammerhead sharks on a kid's cereal out of the city lake as I would someone say, you know what I can do, when the only thing that Achish knows is the lies that David's told him. And the only thing that David has to prove he's done it are things that he's lied about where they came from. The deception lingers. One lie leads to another lie, leads to another lie. And here's the problem with liars. They can't stop lying. If someone lies to you once, shame on them. If they lie to you twice, maybe you ought to realize they're a liar. This is not the first time David has been caught lying, is it? Do you remember the last time David lied? To the priest Ahimelech, where are you going? I'm doing Saul's business. Well, technically that is true. You are the king's son-in-law, but he's looking to kill you right now. I left in a hurry and couldn't pack my sword. Well, that is true. Your wife lowered you down out of the window at night so the king's guard couldn't find you. David's getting really good at half-truths. Half-truths are lies. Deception is a lie. If you're going around trying to make people think something about you that's untrue, you're lying with your own actions. And that's exactly what David does here. The deception lingers on and David cannot change. My dad used to have a saying. He said, son, if you get in trouble, stop digging. You ever heard that? We tend to get in trouble and we keep digging deeper and deeper into the trouble that we got into. David here has opportunity to take action, to get out of this mess. And he doesn't do it. Do you know why? Deception lingers. When we look at this, David has been lying and lying and lying for 16 months. And all of a sudden the dilemma shows up. Once you've lived a lie, and that's all you know how to do is live a lie, you don't know how to live without lying. Once you're like Cliff, my friend, who told lies all the time, you don't know how to tell people you went fishing and just didn't catch anything. You don't know how to go tell people you went fishing and didn't catch anything to talk about. When you're so comfortable lying that you tell people stories, there's no possible way there's truth. All that is someone who's lived their life in lies and they don't know how to live in any other way but lying. You say, well, man, Brother Harold, I'm glad I don't live like that. You're just a couple lies away from being comfortable living like that. Really? Oh, no, I might tell a little white lie. If you'll tell a little white lie, you'll have to tell a bigger lie to cover up your white lie. If you're willing to tell small lies about small things, it's just a matter of time before you're in a dilemma of which lie you're going to tell next. If you get comfortable lying and you get away with it for a couple of times, and you may go 16 months living this lie, and then the king knocks on your door and says, hey, we're going to fight Israel, arm up. What are you going to do? You're going to do exactly what David did. Because you don't know how to live without lying. So that brings us to our fourth and final thought. We see the dishonesty, a dishonest living, the dilemma of loyalty, a deception that lingers. Now let's look at this, the latter part of verse 2. A deceived leader. Notice Achish's response at the end of verse 2. And Achish said to David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. I read that phrase, keeper of thine head. I read that in the New King James Bible, and it said, the one who guards me or something like that. And it had a little asterisk beside it, so I went down to the bottom to see. It said this phrase in the New King James also means keeper of thine head. And I thought, well, that's the same thing the King James said. Do you know what it means, though? It means I will make you my personal bodyguard. Achish is so confident in David that he's willing to make David the army that protects him personally. David is going to be the most trusted army of Achish. He's going to be the company. He's going to be the special forces of Achish. If things go bad and they get overrun, it's going to be David and his men that are the last line of defense before they get to Achish. Notice he says, I'm going to make you this forever. You know what that means? Being the personal bodyguard of Achish was a lifelong appointment. They had only been together for 16 months. Something tells me that David did more than lie one time for Achish to be this convinced that David was this committed. Something tells me that David had told some very big and outlandish lies for Achish to have this much confidence in David. Something tells me that David came to Achish with more than one camel, one donkey, one change of clothes. Something tells me that David began to give Achish way more than he should have to make himself appear valiant in battle. And when Achish said, remember his usage of words, where have you made a road today? Achish has the impression that David is a wrecking ball and everywhere he goes, he wipes them completely out. And Achish is convinced that all this while, David has been fighting the enemies of the Philistines. Deceived leader. Remember when we were talking about the dilemma of loyalty? How dangerous it was for David not to go fight Israel? Remember how his men are living in a foreign country? You remember how offensive it would be to Achish to say, oh no, I'm not going to fight Israel. What would Achish have done? At best, kicked him out of the country. But more likely, just wiped out David and all of his men and all of their families and took Ziklag back. We said living a lie and living a deception is dangerous. But do you know what? It's also dangerous to those whom you tell. Remember Ahimelech, the priest that David lied to? The next day Ahimelech was dead. Not only Ahimelech, but 83 other priests were slain with Ahimelech because David deceived
Ahimelech.
You say, preacher, where are you going to go with this? I'm going to tell you what the title of my message is and explain it. The dangers of deception. Achish, if he continues to believe David and makes David his most personal bodyguard, David does not trust Achish. David does not love Achish. David will not fight for Achish. This is dangerous to Achish. The fact that David's lying and telling lies and fighting other people, all it takes is one person to escape. Follow David and his men back to Gath and go to Achish and say, David attacked us, your friends. And that would have been the end of David. The dangers of deception. I want to ask you a couple of questions and we'll close. How many people today deceive their leaders? Just think it quietly in your mind. How many people's boss thinks something about them? It's probably not true. Huh? You ever worked around other people? You ever had a boss? You ever been a boss? Have you? You ever seen people put their best foot forward when the boss is around? Here comes the boss. Well, if you're doing the same thing the right way all the time, you don't have to jump up off your stool and act like you're busy because the boss is here. But I've worked with enough people in my short life to recognize there are some people that have the bosses fooled. You know why? The boss will come up and go, boy, I'll tell you what, old so-and-so down there, they're really getting with it. And I'm sitting here going, oh, you're an idiot. How'd you become boss? Huh? How in the world did they put you in this? You can't see through that? No, he's deceived. You and I are going, why in the world can't Achish figure this out? He's deceived. How many people deceive their boss? How many people deceive the government? Let's talk about it collectively. How many people deceive the cops? Put on a good show when they're around the cops and then steal behind their back. I know a lot of people try to deceive the cops. Back before laser beam technology to determine how fast you were going, there was radar. Remember that? Remember those little things people put on their window? Jammers? So they could pick up a radar signal and know if there was a cop there. You know what that is? You're deceiving people. You're a deceiver. You're living a lie. I tell you what, if you would do that, you'd lie about anything. Oh, Brother Earl, you shouldn't say that about me. Why are you trying to get something to get away from the cops for? Amen or oh me, I don't care where you stand, I think the Bible's on my side. If you're willing to purchase something so you can break the law, there's really not any other law you hold dear. How many people today deceive their leaders? We've looked at boss, we've looked at the government. How about their pastor? You know, I found that people talk differently around me than they do their friends. I found that people act differently around me than they do their friends. You know why? I'm a pastor. I don't mean people in the church. I mean people anywhere. If I go into Brahms and get a cup of coffee, hello, preacher. Oh, you're a preacher? All of a sudden, the dirty jokes stop. I mean, I could hear them telling them when I was ordering my coffee, but when I sat down, they stopped. Why? I'm a preacher. And then somebody will cuss or say something off color. And one of them will go, hey, the preacher's sitting here. You know, I usually say something smart. I usually say, you know, I was starting to think you were a good old boy till you said that. And they'll be like, huh? And I go, yeah, you just ruined it. You ruined what I thought about you. Listen to me. How many people you think do that? Lot. How many people make a dishonest living? Right now, I'm watching the wheels in your mind turn. You're going through the Rolodex and address book of your mind and you're pulling out cards. This guy's a cheater. This guy's a cheater. This guy's a cheater. And you're thinking about all the people. You're thinking about all the used car salesmen you've ever bought a car from. That's who you're thinking of, is it not? You're thinking of the guy, you're thinking of the real estate agent that sold you that dump of a house that was falling in when you moved in. That's who you're thinking of, is it not? Amen or oh me? That's not the only people that make a dishonest living. You know what you probably didn't think of? These people that are cheating the government system. Ain't a thing in the world wrong with them, and they're drawing money from the government so they don't have to work. These people that have more than enough money to buy their own cell phone, and they're getting the government to buy their cell phone. These people that are hiding their income so the government will continue to give them benefits. That's not an honest living, my friend. It's a cheat. You're cheating. You're dishonest. One day your loyalties are going to be challenged. You say, well, bless God, I make an honest living, preacher. I work every day, the sun comes up. You cheat on your taxes, do you? I don't care if you get up and work from sun up to sundown 6 days a week. If you don't render unto Caesar what's his, you're making a dishonest living. You say, well, I don't want to pay taxes. I don't either. And all that you can legally get out of, get out of. But pay what you owe. And don't lie about stuff so that you do not have to pay taxes. That's not an honest living. And you can't live that forever. Take you down to a big mansion in Greenwood that's sitting empty. Show you a guy that tried to get out of paying his taxes. Big fancy. Got a swimming pool outside that goes inside. Has big fish in it like this. They can swim inside and swim outside. You can have that for a little while, but you cannot have that forever unless you get it honestly. They will all be in a dilemma of choosing whether to be right or continue doing wrong. All these people that you've been thinking of in your mind, all these people that have deceived their leaders, all these people in a dishonest living will one day come to a dilemma. Will I turn and do what's right, or will I continue to do wrong? Will I turn and serve God, or will I continue to follow after money? Will I turn and make an honest living and serve God, or will I continue to live a life of deception and cheating? And unless God gets involved, do you know what the answer always is? I'll keep on cheating. I'll keep on cheating. I'll keep on lying. Why? I've got away with it this long. David for 16 months had no worries. He had his own city. He had his own place. He could go out and raid these little country villages. He had all this stuff that he had looted out of these villages. He's living the life of leisure. He's showing off the excess money that he has and giving it to the king. But you know the old saying, there is no free lunch. All of it has strings attached. And Achish says, it's time for you to pay up for the protection and the safety that we've been giving you here. The land of the Philistines, there will be a dilemma. And unless God gets involved, these people will continue lying. You say, Brother Harold, I think you're right. I think we ought to point those other people out. I think we're right. I think you're right, Brother Harold. I think we ought to point them cheaters and tax cheaters out. I'm glad you're getting on to them. I'm glad you're getting them people that are milking the government for money they don't need. I'm glad you're jumping on out. Let's get them. Can I ask you something? Could it be that you are living a life of deception? Could it be? Huh? Could it be? Oh, you say, Brother Hal, I don't cheat on my taxes. Could it be that you're living a life of religious deception? Where you drag yourself into the house of God once a week, you put on your good clothes, you act like you're a Christian, you talk Christian lingo, you stand around with people here and you pat them on the back and you go back out to the rest of your world and they don't know anything about the life you live on a Sunday in here and nobody in here knows anything about the life you live out there. Could that be the case for anyone here? I venture to say there's a good possibility that it could. You know why? If David could deceive Achish, you could deceive Brother Harold. I'm no king. I got no special ability. I don't have x-ray religious vision. I can't look into your heart. I can't know how you really feel about God. And you can put on a good show and deceive me and think everything is okay. But friend, you don't have to convince me. There is a leader far greater than I, as John said, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to unloose. And he will not be. You may go through your entire life living a religious lie. You may go through your entire life deceiving every other Christian you come in contact with. You may go through your entire life cheating the government and never get caught and never have to pay them back taxes. You may go your entire life and work for a company where you're the most worthless employee they have and they never figure it out. You may get through life that way. But there's coming a judgment after life, and He sees through your deceptions. He's not fooled like Achish. He's not fooled like Brother Harold. He's not fooled like your boss. He's not fooled like the IRS. He sees it all, and He knows it all. He's going to address it. We see a glimpse of Him addressing it in Revelation 21, verse 8. Let me read it to you. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and get this, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You say, Brother Harold, King David was a liar. You said he was a liar. I did. And if King David was left alone, he'd still be lying to Achish if they were both alive. What stopped David from lying? God. God will not allow His children to continue in that mess forever. God's children are capable of disobedience. God's children are prone to disobedience. But God is faithful in their correction. You know what happened? Achish said, let's go. Chapter 29, David went. The Philistine, all five kings got together on a hillside and everybody lined up their army and they said, let's number our men. You can take off in a couple Sundays whenever we get to this part. They said, let's line up our men, and they marched these armies by, and everyone said, I think we can take the Israelites. And there, the very last, at the end of Achish's army, come these Hebrews with their Hebrew clothing on. These other four kings looked over at Achish and said, who are the Hebrews? And Achish said, that's David, my personal bodyguard, the one that they used to sing about in Israel, that David, Saul had slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. He's working for me now. These other four kings said, he's not working for us. The other four kings outvoted Achish, and Achish had to send David home. You know why? God won't allow His children to continue to live a lie. Because all liars have their part in the lake of fire. You say, how do you know for certain that God won't allow us to continue to live in deception all of our lives? I'll tell you this, because God refers to Himself as our Father. We pray to Him as our Father. If your dad knew you were disobeying Him every day, over and over and over, how long do you think your dad would let you go? I don't mean that you got away with it because he didn't see it. Our God, our Father, sees it all. If you think a perfect parent is going to watch his child continually, day after day after day, live a dishonest life, deceive people, endanger his own life, endanger his family, endanger this person, and let you do that all your life, you got a very low view of God. However, I have a biblical view. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son. You know what that means? When you start acting like David, God will show up and give you a whipping. May take 16 months for God to let you go to where He wants you to go, but He will give you a whipping. You say, did He give David a whipping? He sure did. When David got back from this battle to Ziklag at his home, Ziklag was burnt to the ground. His wife was gone. His children were gone. His camels were gone. His donkeys were gone. It was all gone. Why do you think God did that? Because David was dishonest. I ask you, have you been dishonest? You been living a lie? You've been trying to please your friends over here and your friends over here. You're in a dilemma. You're in a dilemma. Who are you going to be loyal to? Well, I think I'm going to have it both ways. The Bible says, if you're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm, and Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I want nothing to do with you. A child of God that can live a life of deception and get away with it is no child of God. It's only proof that his real loyalty is to the world. Say, well, I'm going to go ahead and do this and do that. That's fine. If God lets you get away with it, you're not His son. I've tried doing that stuff. I have. You know why I don't do it now? I got tired of getting whippings. I got tired of God getting a hold of me. I got tired of lying. I got tired of living a life of deception. It's my prayer that today, through this sermon, if you're living a life of deception, if you're lying to two different groups of people, that this sermon would convict you through the power of the Spirit and you would confess to God, I've been living a lie. I want to confess. I want to ask you to have mercy on me. Help me to live holy, committed unto you. If you don't, He will get your attention. He will straighten you out. He will correct everything that's wrong with you. You won't be perfect. You'll be like David. You won't be able to live the rest of your life in the land of the Philistines because that's not your child of God. Examine yourself today. You say, Brother Harold, I have been kind of getting comfortable lying. I have been kind of letting a few white lies go here and there. Didn't think anybody was hurt by it. It's that kind of a beginning that ends up where David is. Stop. Stop. Deception. It's dangerous. It's dangerous for you, and it's dangerous for us, because we trust you. Turn to God today. Confess, you've been living a lie. Be honest with God. Ask for mercy. Our God is merciful and gracious to us. If that's you, you go to Him today. If you don't, I pray He'll correct you.